section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
You are about to enter the dirty stalls of It Burns When I Pee. This podcast is for mature audiences only. The views and opinions expressed on this show are usually rude, crude, and offensive, and should not be associated with our guests and sponsors in any way. Please proceed to the first available stall and prepare for takeoff.
Welcome, everyone, to another gripping episode of It Burns When I Pee, the number one podcast for roots music, adult comedy, and interviews. The podcasting god, Blake Clayton, along with his revolving group of co-hosts, are preparing for launch. Please adjust your volume, remove all morals and values, and prepare yourself for what we like to call auditory dysentery. We go live in
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ignition.
Mission control to podcasting god, you are clear to proceed. I repeat, you are clear to proceed.
Lies from the start, breaking apart.
This field is burning, surrounded by the growing flames, slowly turning. We'll never make it out.
Make it out unchanged, surrounded by the flames.
The storm is over, we can start rebuilding. Survive the fire, now it's time for healing. You hear my words and you'll know their meaning someday.
Someday.
Folks, welcome to episode 146 of It Burns When I Pee. And we have a special guest with us. He's been on the show many times. Brooke Blanche, welcome on the show.
Oh, thanks, buddy. It's good to be here.
It's great to talk to you again. We've seen a lot of each other in the last couple months. You guys come through and played a lot, so it's been nice being able to see you guys. It's usually about a year or two in between the times.
Yeah, we've been in that region a little bit more, I guess.
So the cover of the new solo album, it has a image of a buffalo. What led you to choose that for your cover?
Well, I've always liked bison, and it is the Kansas State mammal. So, I don't know, it's an important animal and sort of a tragic figure in the history of our country. So I don't know, when I see them I feel pretty sad generally, and this record has kind of had some moments of relatively sad, so seemed appropriate.
The liner notes I saw in the liner notes that you thanked both your parents for their influences in your music career. Can you kind of elaborate on how each of them influenced you?
Well, my dad plays a bunch of instruments. So they were always sort of around the house, even though I didn't really start playing until, you know, sixth or seventh grade or something like that. But I mean, we always sang as a family and go to church and sing. And so dad was always, when I decided to start playing music, he was right there and taught me how to tune and told me to go away, basically, which was exactly what I needed. And then my mom, you know, she's a writer. She's a, got her doctorate in English and is a professor and is a great writer. And some of my fondest memories of mom is sitting there and I would get to light her cigarettes for her. So I always got the first puff as a little kid. It's probably inappropriate, but it was sitting there at the computer watching her work and seeing her go through the process. And like when I would work on stories, she'd sit there and go with it through me, you know, like she was always super helpful when I came to that sort of thing. So she taught me a lot of the craft of it. And I hope that I apply it a little bit.
Definitely. You know, that's something that I've never experienced with interviewing a songwriter is how, you know, having a parent like that who is, you know, an English is their main subject. And so it was, like I said, it was probably very helpful being able to learn that there's more than one way to write stuff.
Yeah. I still misuse my commas, but I know it as I'm doing it. So
the album definitely tugs at the heartstrings and emotions of listeners. And I'm sure that a lot of these songs are tied to a lot of personal experiences that you've had. Was it difficult for you emotionally to put these songs together and then to put them together on an album for everyone to listen to?
Well, it's probably harder to live that stuff, but some of these songs were kind of, have been around for a minute. I felt it was definitely time to quit carrying them around. You know, I don't know how to explain that, but I felt like I had a bunch of these songs, and some of them I wrote really recently and as we were recording and stuff. So it was a harder process than I thought it was going to be. I thought I'd just go in and record some of these old songs and some new songs, but I was a little surprised at how I ended up having to go through a lot of these feelings again. A lot of these songs, to me, are about specific things. And I hope that no one can really tell what, for the most part, or who. But, but you know, they definitely mean specific things to me. I hope they're not too pointed so that other people can get it, too.
Most songwriters and musicians are their own worst critics, most artists in general. And so for you, how do you know when you've written a song? How do you know when the song is complete? And also, how do you judge when a song is ready to be performed to people?
Well, I think a lot of times you don't know if it's ready to be performed for people until you've already done that, that you've already performed it. And either they're not going to like it, and then you just hopefully have a backup song to move on to, or they like it, and then you know that it's either done or you know where to fix it. As far as my personal thing, I want to be able to get the point across, and I want to get in and out of there as quick as I can.
Mm-hmm.
I can't write long songs. I don't particularly enjoy listening to long songs. You know, American Pie and the record of Edmund Fitzgerald probably excluded. As far as songs with words that are too long. I just try to get in and get out say what I need to, hopefully get enough of a point across to someone. If I did that and hopefully have a chorus, then I'm done.
Do you think it helps, like, at the listener for making it short and to the point? Do you think it also helps them, like, focus maybe on what you're trying to say?
Nope, not necessarily. There's some moments in some of those longer songs where there's instrumental breaks and stuff that other people do, and that gives you a little time for introspection that you might not be able to get right to in a minute and a half if your emotions aren't already raw right there, you know?
Sure.
But if you're already feeling how the song is talking, then I think you can get there pretty quick. Probably don't want to stay there too long either.
Right. The main theme of the album, you know, as a whole, is a lot of heartbreak and lost love, something that everybody experiences at some point or another. What do you hope that fans take away after they listen to the album?
Well, I don't know. I think this album is a warning shot to anyone out there. Because mostly this album talks about not necessarily me losing, but me being the reason for me losing it and it being my fault in the first place. There's a couple of declarations about how selfish I am and how nothing will be good enough and nothing will ever be enough. And there's a song about me cheating and trying to blame it on her. And it's probably a great way to not get me any other girlfriends ever again. So... Which is fine. That's fine. That's how that goes. At least it's honest. What people can get away, like, hopefully take away from it, I don't know. Like, I think that these situations are pretty universal. And, I don't want people to feel sad about it all the time, but every now and then, it's okay to on a record and be a little bit bummed, I guess.
Well, and, you know, it also, it helps you, you know, at least for me, I think it helps as a listener hearing someone else go through it, hearing someone else be able to articulate possibly, you know, what they have felt or they are feeling. I think that brings a type of calmness and comfortableness.
Well, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
I would hope so. That's what music is supposed to do, right?
I think so. I don't know. It's a compulsion for me. So,
you know, now that you've released a solo album, is there any plans on doing like a solo tour?
Yeah, I think that's probably going to happen. You know, the Calamity Cubes usually take a couple months off in the winter. Go do various other things, so kind of recharge a little bit. So I'll probably take that time and not recharge, or not recharge in the normal way, and try to hit the road. There's a few different solo guys that travel around a bunch. I might just hop in the truck and go along, see where it goes.
Because I think for a lot of fans of yours, you know, there have been, you know, well, of course, you play a lot of local sets. You know, solo sets, but besides, you know, some festival spots, you know, a lot of fans don't get that chance across the country to see you perform these songs.
That's true. That's very true. I don't think I've gone out of town ever to go play a solo show. Maybe that's not true. Except for the Farm Fest, which is my only festival spot this year, so it's not something I'd try to push too much, but it was something I felt like I had to do. If people want to hear me do some solo stuff, I mean, that'd be nice to know. I don't know where to go, you know?
Sure.
I mean, I know all the venues where, I mean, I'm sure I could find some, you know what I mean, but
we'll put your email address out there or your Facebook link. And for everyone who personally wants Brooke to come do a solo show.
I love him listening, man.
So,
I could probably just do house shows for cheap.
There you go.
Just couch surf around.
So you have an amazing range in your voice, and I was kind of wondering, have you ever had like voice lessons or professional training, or have you just developed your style on your own?
No, I didn't have any training, really. I learned how to sing in the church and sing with my parents and stuff. No, I never took lessons or anything. I don't really know what kind of style I have, but and I've always just liked singing. I don't really know. It's what happens.
So you have a tremendous amount of Kansas pride, and we kind of talked about that at the beginning with the Bison. I was kind of wondering, have you always lived in Kansas?
I was born and raised in Kansas. Yeah, I've lived out of the state a couple of times, but not far and for not long. So
what's your favorite thing about Kansas?
Well, I don't know, you know, home's home.
Sure.
I'm sure if I would have grown up in Indiana, I'd be loyal to Indiana, because that would be my home. You know, I think I grew up in a house on a hill that my parents built, that they physically built, and that just made me feel more connected to the land and to this whole state. And growing up in Leavenworth, that's the first city in Kansas, you know, and there's a lot of history there, and there's bison there out in the pasture outside of the penitentiary, so I don't know. It's just home.
One of the questions I like to ask, but and for you in particular, because I know you so well, the choice to be a touring musician has its ups and downs. And does it sometimes take its toll on you? And if so, what do you do personally to keep moving forward?
Oh, I just freak out. Might as well just get it out of the way. Just freak the fuck out. Who cares? Touring's all right. I'm fortunate to be with some level-headed guys, and I'm the irrational and difficult one, unfortunately. it's not funny or awesome, but it's true. And I don't know how I would do it otherwise. I don't know what it's like in other bands. I know what it's like in other bands because I see other bands all the time. Come and go. So, the road's hard. After, you know, it depends on your tour schedule. We have a much better setup now, and since we are in Kansas, we can get anywhere, really, in a day or so. You know, we can get to California in 24 hours if we have to, or East Coast quickly. So, we get to tour for shorter amounts of time now, and it's a little easier to keep you calm when you can come back and sit at your desk and write for a minute or whatever, you know?
Sure. Who are some of the bands and artists that have influenced you musically?
I don't know. That's a tough call, really. It's a pretty broad spectrum, and I don't know. I mean, I guess I just like a lot of different kinds of music. I wasn't really allowed to listen to a lot of different kinds of music when I was a kid. I finally got into my parents' record collection. You asked me who taught me how to sing. David Crosby probably had a hand in that. So I don't know. No one. I can't think of anyone directly or anyone who I would like to sound like or wish I'd come up with that song or anything, you know what I mean?
Sure.
There's a staggering amount of songwriters and songs out there and different sounds and approaches, so If I take anything, I try to take something from everybody, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know how much of it I apply.
So you enjoy bourbon and water from time to time, and I was interested to know, which brand of bourbon do you prefer?
Well, I try to keep it pretty simple as far as bourbon goes. Like, if it's got, if it's like named after a guy, that's good. If it's got old in the name or Kentucky in the name, also pretty good. If it's got granddad or grandpap in the name, pretty good. So I'll drink any of those bourbons. It covers most of them, I think.
Right.
Basically, not McCormick, not only because it's from Missouri, but because it's awful.
So as an avid pinball player, do you have a favorite machine?
No. I have some favorite places to play because they usually have good machines. But picking a favorite machine, that's, do you know how many pinball machines there are? I come across new ones all the time. I found two yesterday in the back room of a warehouse.
Oh, wow.
That I'd never seen before. That will be working soon, hopefully. I've been playing a lot of Heavy Metal Mania right now, which is pretty fun. It has a good multi-ball and a different setup than I normally see. I like going to Flipper McGill's in Idaho Springs to play. It's probably my favorite pinball place. Get a bourbon and water and go walk over and play some pinball. Wizard of Oz is a new machine, but it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That's not just because I'm from Kansas.
I played that one.
You
played it? I played it in Las Vegas at the Pinball Hall of Fame.
Oh, boy.
Which
yep.
Should have been called the Pinball Warehouse.
I missed that the last time we were in Vegas. The guys went there, and I was busy.
I've never seen a place that had that many in one room, so that was pretty awesome. And you know, I've learned a lot about playing pinball as of late, and I guess I understand it more now, and I'm trying to actually do the things that you're supposed to do as opposed to just hitting the ball and keeping it going.
Yeah, there's a whole, they try to set it up so you have to do certain things right. At certain times. That's what all the flashing lights are about.
Right. I always just thought they were there just to, you know, divert your attention. The most important question is, where do folks go to get the new album?
Well, you can order it from me. I have a PayPal account set up if you want to. BrookBlanche@rocketmail.com. And you can also go to Farmageddon Records. There's CDs and shirts for sale at both places.
And we'll put up a link to that on the show notes.
All right.
Brooke, we've been friends for a long time, and I've always wanted to hear a solo album from you, and it was amazing. I don't want to sound cheesy in any way, but it really was amazing, and the stories that you tell, I know help you, and they also help a lot of the people that listen to it. And I from all of them, I thank you.
Well, thanks, man. That's very nice to hear.
And the last song we're going to play is Fools on the Barstools, and that was the first cut off the album, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, Brooke, thank you very much, friend, and I will see you soon.
All right, man.
There's fools on the bar stools, spilling beer on the floor, spilling their guts out and asking for more. There's stories to be told here and secrets to be kept. I heard this tale and silently
she's a left or she's a leaving. I'm not quite sure. She said goodbye and she headed for the door. And if she comes a knocking, I'll let her in and let this breakup start up again. Well, I thought I could trust her, but she's been lies. She tells me she loves me, but can't look me in the eyes. There's nothing left hold on to. I lost my grip, and one last time I grab and I slip. Well, I thought I could trust her, but she's been lies. She tells me she loves me, but can't look me in the eyes. There's nothing left to hold on to. I lost my grip, and one last time I grab and I slip. It's just a one last time I grab and I slip.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, Section 8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.